Welcome to the Out of Ashan podcast. We move into the second part of our discussion around relationships, around roots, reconnection. Ko, we talked about reconnection to the land, and we had to re-establish what we've been taught regarding relationship with the Most High. Because usually when you hear that, it's in the context of church or some type of dogma or way of being. But as we began to search scriptures, experience life, and we've been going through this meticulous process of how the Most High set all these different orders in space and in place. And if we don't adhere to those orders and those formulas, as you put it so eloquently last week, then we have a dominating or a domino effect of chaos, as they call it, or orders out of chaos, where we create the fear, we create these different things, because we understand at the root level, from what the scripture said, was that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways internally, so the relationship is internal with the Most High within oneself, then will I hear from the heavens, meaning the physical environment, I will realign, forgive the sin, and sometimes that can take generations depending on how long you've been in that rut. But our Savior did come to bridge the gap so that the ramifications of the laws that have been broken can be redeemed at a higher intensity and at a greater impact if we are walking in accordance to the Most High. And we have to realize that our idea of time versus the Most High idea of time is very different. Learning that in agriculture, everything is dependent on the times, the seasons, the life of the soil, the life of the grass, rotating pastures. We're getting a full understanding of how the world operates as a whole. All they did was take agricultural principles and ways of being that the Most High created and then truncated it, compressed it into concrete jungles and systems that operate on itself. Like we're in tax season right now. Everything gets taxed. When you put seeds in the ground, as we're hearing of the farms out in Zambia, that birds came in and what? Devoured the seed. Didn't the Savior say that the birds came in, the fowls came in and encroached on the seed? So we're seeing that we have to be in relationship, pasturing the land, the sheep, the people, livestock. We're talking about getting into cattle. We're talking about getting into sheep and goats. So our mindset is becoming so broadened and clarifying some of the things we've been taught. So if that relationship with the Father is not strong and the relationship with the land is completely amiss and you're living like in a zoo, basically, the lion gets fed, he gets his shots, his neutering, his this. If human beings are doing similar things, and we see that as a system that was built in place that we came into, it's not like these systems were naturally done, although it is patterning the natural order. That's why they call it the New World Order, all these different terms they use. But once we understand that, how do we now rebridge, heal, reconnect to make our relationships, our personal relationships work? So if those things are out of whack, Ko, what do we got left?
What you see outside, barrenness. And, you know, we start talking about relationships, and it's prime season, even on a lot of podcasts, a lot of outlets, that everyone is talking about it, from relationships between family members, intimate relationships. We're talking about marriage. I mean, there's so many different things, but relationships seems to be high on the pecking order. And I think that's because we've moved into a time, a day and age where things are very informal. People meet each other no longer in face-to-face settings. Everything is utilizing the technological mediums. There's a lot of people that are just very socially awkward. They don't know how to engage people. They lack interpersonal skills. And because of that, I think it's affecting the way people commune with one another. So if we look at that just from a humanistic perspective, now let's look back at our relationship with nature. We have evolved in such a way in society that we only think of nature when it comes to encroachments of the land. If there's like a natural disaster, or if someone mentions something about global warming, that's the furthest we go to when we talk about nature. Granted, what we don't realize is the world around us, there's many more untouched land than what we can even imagine. But all we know is the little area from which we peruse that we go to major cities and we think that's what it is. But that's not the case at all because we're so far removed. So we don't understand the source. So when you start to go back and talk about the roots, when you start to talk about just cultivating livestock, the scriptures talked about it because that's what the lives of the people were way back when. And even for a lot of people across the globe, that is still in existence. They're still connected. If we look into some of the Asian countries, we look in India, where they don't eat cows. That's sacred because they more or less see the cow as a symbolism for their faith and beliefs. They leave that alone. But you do see them devouring lamb. You see them devouring goats and other animals, chickens, things of that nature, versus you come here in the West, it's the exact opposite. Why? Because certain areas of the globe have a higher appetite for consumption. So because we have access to currency and different things, then we feel like we don't have the responsibility anymore to then make sure that nature is running its course, that we're no longer encroaching on the environment. We're no longer doing things to cause derision amongst wildlife and animals. You know, it's funny, here in Maryland, there are tons of deer. And people who are driving think the deers are the nuisance, but this was their home. They just demolished the forest and put a big old roadway, and they're just trying to cross to where they normally go. But because of our encroachment, because of our civilization, because of our efficiency, if we want to call that, now they're getting hit by cars because, once again, we have caused confusion in what they called their natural habitat. And the same thing is going on within the human space, because all the technological advancements, a lot of things that we see today are very abnormal. It's abnormal in the high consumption of things we do, whether it's food, whether it's entertainment. Never in a million years, never in human history has any species consumed this amount of information all at one time. So it's almost like we're aliens, because your body, your mind wasn't designed to consume all these things. And we do it at such a high clip because of the lack of discipline and that craving, that appetite, where we just want more and more and more and more. So as you mentioned earlier, now you see why there are new industries growing for it. So when you, I think in one of the podcasts, you mentioned how one office is called both the Food and Drug Administration. So the same people that feed you the crazy food are selling you or cultivating the medicine, supposedly your cure. And it's the same thing. A lot of the people who are in social media who create these things, they're on the flip side funding research to how the brain works, or funding research for mental health and all these. They're causing a problem, and then also at the same time trying to create the solutions for the so-called problem that they created. And it doesn't make sense. That's all this is. It's a test case. So this is why when we travel, we oftentimes tell our brothers and sisters across the globe that don't desire these things, because be careful what you ask for, because you don't know how this will run its course, nor do you know what you're asking for. Because right now,
that's true. They eat McDonald's mad heavy in Ghana, but y'all don't got the healthcare, the drug system to sustain you.
A young lady came to my office today because she saw a book on my shelf, and she said, "Oh man," and recommended this book called Outlive. And it's the doctor was talking about the four major diseases that are attacking people here in the Western world. And when we're on the topic of cancer, I was asking her, so based on your summation of the book, what do you think the overall themes are? She said, everything comes back to diet. It's a dietary issue. It's the things that you're consuming that you don't even know you're consuming are leading to a lot of these things that are unknown. And they just call them cancers. They're illnesses. But it's because of what we consume. One of my professors, she just came back from Mexico. Yeah. She says, when I'm in Mexico, in that part of Mexico, I'm eating fresh everything. She says, in the lifestyle, I don't need a car. I can bike everywhere. I can walk everywhere. I have a community. She says, when I come here, I have to drive 30, 40 minutes. That means I'm sedentary. And I don't even want to move around because this is what the lifestyle entails. So now your community is also affecting the quality of life and the health you have. So once again, we're communal people, right? We walk, we move. When we move to the other countries, we go to the marketplace. People are constantly moving. This is why they don't have the illnesses or the issues with sedentary lifestyles, because their society, their way of living, is the way it's supposed to be to fortify your body and your strength. So you know, we're definitely in a weird time in history, and I think we as a people globally really need to take a look at ourselves and look at our way of life to really see if this is what we want for future generations. Because with all the greatness that we think it is, there's also on the flip side a lot of demise and derision and a lot of catastrophe and chaos on its way as well.
To that point, if we pro and con every situation and critically think through, you can see what's happening and find your way through. But if the brainwash, which comes through every form of interaction and what is normalized, continues to evolve or grow, it's only going to what bear more fruit of the same thing. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And coming into this whole agricultural space again, and being able to learn the ways of nature, learn the ways of a farmer, a rancher, all these different things that they do, why they do what they do. If they are using the animals for the consumption of the market, then they're going to put that energy, thought processes, procedures, practices into the actual animal itself. So the animal is now eating grass, soil that has toxins in it. If the animal's eating toxins, then you eat the animal. That means you're eating toxins as well, which is going to cause toxic relationships. That's a simple way of putting it, but it's all the same. And the nuances, or what they call the sciences, that are learned in these tests and these different case studies and in the laws and the different fluctuations of what is acceptable, the policies and so forth and so on, and why people are pushing for certain things, at the end of the day is about consumption, because we have bought into the idea of what is called capitalism. So once you look at things from a systematic standpoint and don't take it personal, then you can realize that that is cause and effect of how you feel emotionally, which then puts you in states of being where you don't want to work out, where you don't want to be like this, or you don't want to learn in school. We're doing stuff in education. A lot of the problems we're having with people in our communities, or in the quote unquote disenfranchised community spaces, the one that are underserved, or all these different terms they have for these classifications of people groups, which usually has Afro or Latino or ethnic people in it, are usually what? Eating foods that are not real, consuming it, which then throws their capability to comprehend, to critically think, to assess, to be proactive as opposed to reactive. Over time, it's almost incurable. But as we get back to the land, as we begin to change the diet, as that student so eloquently put in, we begin to show that to be the wave of the future, that being a lifestyle of health, which is happening, but there's always a way to capitalize on that as well. Because now everybody's going organic. Everything's about organic, organic, organic. So now we have to ask ourselves, okay, we're moving in the right direction. America's a young country that over consumed itself.
We don't even know if it's real organic. I remember,
man,
watching 2020 special. This is when the organic industry first came out. Because even look at the definition of what is classified as organic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes is we think it's no pesticides. No, that this is why certain foods would list, like it'll say organic, but then another tag would tell you what it doesn't have. Because there could be organics that still have pesticides, that still have all these things. Because it's all legal terms. And that's what I came to the realization mm-hmm. about. Watching that 2020 expose, I think it was a Food Lion, and they showed how literally somebody on the inside was recording how meat would go bad. They would take, rewrap it, and then in some cases put a organic label on it and then mark the price up. Because when people see organic, they automatically know it's going to cost more money. And these, so when you go to the markets, something that's grass fed is different than what is pasture raised, because they're all legal terms. And based on the legal definition would determine what they can and can't mm-hmm. do. So this is why when you listen to some of the dietitians and the food science people, they talk about how in other countries, there's certain ingredients that are available to us that other countries won't even dare allow into their uh-huh. people. So that tells you what's in it. There's stuff in this the science has brought forth because of, I don't know if it's, well, we can relay it back to capitalism. I also would factor in the high population,
yes,
and the demand for money and more money. And this is the way you can kind of, instead of giving the full quality, almost like a drug person will cut the product to lessen the potency to still be able to make more money. Mm-hmm. It's the same way they do it in the food industry. So you remember they were talking about the red slime in burgers, mm-hmm. because they understand that people oftentimes make decisions with what they see. Mm-hmm. So if it's not a shiny apple, if the meat they see is not really pink, then they think it's something wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And because of that, these behavioralists, they have studied and they understand organizational and consumer behavior, and they give people what they want and charge you for it. The next thing you know, you're bedridden. Why? Heart disease. You're bedridden. Why? Diabetes. You're this, you're that. And it's all because of the things we consume.
So we've talked a lot about what we're doing internally, whether it be through habits, through spending habits, eating habits, so forth and so on, that you're still connected to the land in this construct, in this system that they've created. You are still involving nature, connected with nature, but it's controlled and it's distributed through their channels. And we've okayed that. We've okayed it by our social security numbers that we're a part of this. We okay it by our birth certificates. We just automatically file them in. I was meeting with a cattle rancher. He said, look, let me tell you something. Most important thing, above everything else, genetics. 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 Because if you don't, he was going through that whole thing with me. Yeah, listen up. So I was enjoying that. I felt like I was in Missouri again. So I'm a cowboy, country boy. But what I was learning through all of them telling me their years of experience and what we need to do as we begin to build the farm out and what direction we plan to go in as we're doing our research and due diligence is that the cow, the genetics of that individual maintains or creates the overall stock you have and how much money you can make from the type of beef, and you have to have everything categorized. So now you realize, now I swing it back to human beings. Anything you're going for a job, they ask for what? Sex, race, yes, qualifications. Because once they see all those qualifications, they know what programming, what construct you come from, and know how to place you within their system to make the system work. And that's everywhere in the world. America just has done a really great job of how to do it on massive scales with tons of people. So we know that to be the infrastructure that we're already in. So with that, you're already operating at an emotional deficit, a mental deficit, a health deficit. Now you're talking about to death do us part. You're trying to tap into a relationship with somebody or with your children. Know that these systems are constantly working and running the whole time. How do you now maintain a strong relationship? Because it feels like the way we've bought into some of the ideals of the system, no one's even expecting relationships to last longer than 20 years, if that. 20 is even pushing if you last. You say you've been with somebody for 20 years. Whoa. I'm talking about in the context of a man and a woman coming together in a marriage. There are people who do it for long periods of time, of course, especially as you're talking about, and we're not going to get into the politics, but the red states versus the blue states and how the narrative that drives those different parties dictate how you approach relationships, right? How you approach marriage. So how do we now, knowing this, create pathways back to Eden, back to the original, while in these captivities, while in these constructs that can begin to produce and change the tide of this deficit that we are constantly operating from? How do we get into the green? What are some cool ways families, people, relationships can begin to evolve to strengthen their relationship? I'll give you an example. I was talking to a client and they were describing how their relationship, she wants to lose weight, but it's so hard for her to maintain a steady diet because her boyfriend is always eating out and eating crazy. She blames him, but let's just follow the storyline. And then she just gets weak and follows through. Even though she knows, hey, if I keep going this way, me and my boyfriend gonna be in the hospital maybe in 10 years, 5 years from now because we eating all this BS food. So I said, you got to start off slow. When I lost weight, I started off with cutting out certain things, cutting out beef. Not saying don't eat beef at all. I'm just saying monitoring and not eating every day. And then moving to turkey, moving to chicken, fish, and then trying some time where you're just doing a vegan diet of a sort, just to cleanse the palate. Like you talked about fasting being a part of cleanse. Right now we're in what some people within the Islamic tradition as Ramadan. This is that season, right? Where they don't eat from sun up to sundown and then do what they do. That's that spiritual practice is a great institution for just life in general. And if you take those same principles and bring it into your relationship and do it together, there can be some healing there that can cause the relationship to have longevity. From your vantage point, what are some ways parents can do things with their children? Because you have four. How are you maintaining in this environment being a present, as they say, father, or interacting with them? How are some ways we can bring that all together?
I think as the adult, the first thing is you have to control intake. So you have to control what comes in and what goes out, period.
Mm.
One thing that on everything you control, whether it's
the
media, whether it's the food, you have to control it. Mm. I know sometimes people say, I don't want to restrict. I don't want them to fit. You go ahead. Things that feel good are usually bad for you. So for the thing, so when you ask, okay, what are some strategies? In that restriction, one thing that's a lost art in a lot of homes, people don't cook anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't cook, you already don't have control to your food source. Now, now you are outsourcing the one of the simplest forms. So when we go back many, many, many decades, everything started in the kitchen. Whoever was in control of the kitchen controlled the nutrition and the emotion of that home. Now that's gone. Why? Because we have such a fast-paced lifestyle that everybody's
got to go back into that. Yeah, go back into that. The emotional make. Oh, that's deep.
Yeah, it starts there because even when we look at farmers, when we look at people, farming is a hard. That's a very laborious profession. You're talking sun up to sun down. They're out in the elements, right? Have you ever noticed when you cook a lot of food that oftentimes, let's say you're cooking for a lot of people, the food has been in front of your face so long, you've been tasting it, that when it's time to eat, you're not even hungry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Versus there's a person who hasn't indulged in that process and they just going for it. They're going for it because they haven't gone through that process. It's the same thing. What you have to do is as adults, especially for kids, you have to determine and begin to restrict, begin to force them to live a disciplined life by your example. So if it's cutting out certain foods, and I'm gonna tell you, one of the biggest culprits in Western society is sugar. Sugar is the number one killer of the Western world. If you look at everything, every label, it's sugar, 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 sugar. And when that sugar goes into your bloodstreams, how it's recognized is what's causing a lot of the ills in society. Something you said that I don't want to forget, because as soon as you said it, it reminded me of the conversation I was having with the young lady today in reference to that book in the cancer. She was talking about fasting, because she said in the book it says one of the best cures to fight cancer is fasting, because it says fasting, and I wrote it down, fasting starves the cancer. So another thing about, so when you just mentioned how you need to re-cleanse the palate, there's something deeply spiritual, because we read it all through the scriptures about fasting and prayer. Why is that so important? Because oftentimes we think that that's some type of repressive or restrictive process versus, but without thinking about the health implications. You remember when we were in the band, we were in the best tip-top shape and condition during our playing months due to the amount of activity we had. And we ate Chinese every day in McDonald's, but we were still in tip-top shape because every week we were fasting. We were very, very, very engaged athletically. We were constantly moving. And these are just basic elements. So just imagine if we ate right at that time, where we would be today, health-wise. We're relatively healthy, but we could be far healthy. We don't know the years that got cut off due to some of our decisions we made way back when. Because there's things that going on that we just haven't, that just haven't come to fruition. There are things that may come out in the next 10 to 15 years, but all of it is based on what we put in. We just don't know the seeds that were planted, essentially. That's why it's important, like you said, at some point, we have to look ourselves in the face or in the mirror and then begin to, you know what, make those gradual changes. Some people can do a cold turkey, but the vast majority of us have to slow roll it. So you have to take it bit by bit. But part of the process is learning. This is why being a lifelong learner and being inquisitive is very important. It's a trait that kids have, and that's why they're so enamored about the world around them. And as adults, that's something you should never lose. Always be willing to learn something new, because you'll be amazed at the foods, like foods, where they come from, to understand what, when you talked about genetics, what is normal or the, what's the word, native to where you're from. Because I know when my dad had his, when he had his stroke years ago, he had triple bypass surgery. I was confused because I said, Dad, you didn't eat bad. So why is it that your arteries were clogged? That's when he told me, he said, this is America. You don't move enough. You're sitting for long periods of time. So the yams, the empesi, the plantains, the stuff that you needed to eat in Ghana because of the high level of activity and being at the equator, the sun, you needed that energy. Here, you don't use enough energy to justify the intake. So you have to change your diet in this place. But once again, the diet that is conducive to here, is it conducive to your well-being as the blood, the DNA of who you are? So this is why, look within our community. Who are the best athletes? What do they look like? Where do they come from? What's their lineage? They can run, jump, and do everything at a phenomenal rate compared to folks that look pale, they lack the melanin. It's just facts. Because where they come from, the genetics, their genetic makeup requires them to have certain level of nutrition involved. But once we were scattered abroad, you begin to adopt what? The lifestyle, adopt the eating habits. And this is why when you look at every disease that is killing the masses of people, when you look at Afro peoples, we always rank high when it comes to the effects. They always talk about African-Americans leading this, African-Americans, because you're like a fish out of water.
Hey, that's a great answer. Because we hear that all the time. And some of it is what you call the environmental racism and different things like that, where it's putting people in certain areas so that they do fail. But it's more so what you're talking about, that the genetics.
Because also with the food, right? It's the big thing is we this culture, we have a habit of not only romanticizing certain things, but there's this need to, when you're falling on hard times, you fall into low states of consciousness, whether it's emotionally, mentally, physically, we tend to gravitate to things. So you would turn to food for comfort because there's issues prevailing. You turn to something that gives you some type of fulfillment. It could be sex. It's so many different things. Sugar. It could be foods. It could be alcohol. And we turn to these things and then we call them addictions because we're wanting to bypass and not deal with the root issues that are going on in life. And we turn to these things because these things are tangible, because it makes us feel good. Even if it doesn't make you feel good, it's a placebo. It's a place filler for us to do this. In this society, because of the craziness that goes on a daily basis. And when I say crazy, I'm talking about the chaos or the war that's going on externally and internally. And this is what drives a lot of our habits and causes us to do these things subconsciously without even thinking. Because when we really think about it logically, we can see the right, the wrong, and we can make a conscious decision. But actually being bold enough, or actually being courageous enough to take that leap of faith, or even that step forward in a different direction. So whether it's eating, whether it's being a shepherd over your household, you talked about cattle. Being a shepherd is important. So once again, so when you're talking about the land, you're talking about animals, you're talking about leadership as well. So if I've told many people this about love. I said, don't tell me you love somebody, but you're willing to feed poison to your kids. You don't love them because you're literally willfully making a conscious decision to kill. You know this stuff is bad. But it was like, well, you're looking at time, you're looking at convenience. You're like, it's just one thing. But the one thing becomes daily. It becomes weekly. So now look at our young ones. They're going into, they're getting, their young girls are getting their cycles much sooner. You can look at their body structures. They're beginning to fill out and mature at an earlier age. And all of it is because, like you mentioned, the foods and the amount of hormones and the amount of chemicals and toxicity involved in how it's adopting and mutating within the human body. And what is it going to look like 20 years from now? If you look at history, people were smaller in stature. Now people are just getting bigger, bigger, bigger and they're living longer and longer. Science is still moving. They're still finding ways to extract your resources, take your money. Now, I think we heard a couple months ago what they had this new diet pill. Now, it's no longer telling people to go and work and do things physical. It's like, just pop this pill and this will help you lose weight. Quick, chemicals. What's in these things that is causing you to lose weight? Well, it acts as a appetite suppressant. Really? Okay. Appetite suppressant.
What? Where y'all learn that from?
And people are buying it. I'm talking not rich people. Average. I work with people who said they are taking these pills. And I'm like, do you know what's in it? Well, I mean, it works. I've lost a couple. Okay. So if that's the vanity in our mind, this is why these things never stop. They're very, very pervasive because we as a people don't want to accept it. And we want to always take the easy way out. The easy way. So we look at convenience. Look at 7-Elevens. Why do they have price markups? Convenience.
Broad is the way that leads.
Broad is the way.
The scripture give you the foundation to how cycles operate with humans and nature. And if you follow those principles and you can break them down to minutia in any form of life, you'll be good. If you don't, you're going to pay. What you don't know,
but
you
that
pay for.
You know, I think the next time we talk, I think we really need to dive into fasting because it was funny to me in college when I used to hear these nutritionists and these what do you call those people, trainers, talk about intermittent fasting. I'm like, when the scriptures talk about fasting, y'all made it seem like it was some type of ritual that no one needs to touch. But now it's pervasive. Now it's common in society. Yeah, fast in the morning. Don't eat until this time. Because your body is doing this. Now they give you the exact science behind it. No prayer involved, but they're just telling you, hey, why? Because this is a means to an end. If you do this, your body begin to burn this and you go into ketosis and do this and it'll begin to store the fat and burn the fat. And now your body's, now you ought to give us a scientific explanation as to why the astute. But once again, but when you go to the scripture, it was simple. If this was the lifestyle you were adopting anyway, you were already doing it without trying to lose 20 pounds. You were already going to be fit. Because when you start to get into that point, that place where you're in dedication, you would do the 30-day fast, 20-day fast, just drink water. Look at this. I'm going back to the water. Do people even drink water anymore? Mm.
And is the water source is clean?
There you go.
Mm-hmm. You hit it right on
the
nose.
People even drink water.
You hit it right on the nose about fasting and prayer. Because I was thinking through it and I was like, we have to, back in the day, they used to talk about practicing the presence of the Most High. And that idea is really powerful. They call it meditation and all these different terms now in pop cultural spaces and in the different new age or different religious contexts and traditions. But when you fast, all the benefits you talked about that come from just a natural standpoint are there because your body's able to reset, starve, restructure, align. And then prayer or meditation becomes a connection to the Most High, which Adam and Eve, or the first human beings, were in the garden with the Most High, and he would come in the cool of the day. I've realized my health is at such a great level right now by his grace because I'm constantly in his presence. How do you get into the presence of the Most High? Through spirit and truth. They that worship in spirit. What is worship? Devotion. Those disciplines you have is a form of worship. It's not only that's a form of worship, but your dedication to whatever you dedicate to is a worship to the Most High or to whatever God you are bound to. So if you're
Balaam,
Molech, all of those guys, all of those fallen entities that people to this day are still bowing to, still worshiping. The scriptures, if you go back to the old ancestral documents, all through like Chronicles and all that area where it talks about the different kings or leaders that continue to do certain things, how they wouldn't get rid of the high places and would offer their children up to Molech. So you, like you said earlier, when you give your children certain foods, and we all are guilty of it because we're in this society, but the awareness is the most important thing, because then that's how the Most High breaks through and then begins to challenge you piece by piece to come out from among them and be ye separate, because I'm calling you out. Because that pathway, as we can see, all of this destruction is already happening. Destruction is happening right now, but it's appearing as if it's okay. And that's the deception of Lucifer and all the agents underneath his command. powerful deception. The god of this world who blinds the hearts and minds of men from receiving the knowledge of the truth. So if you understand that because Adam gave him the keys and he's able to manipulate everything that the Most High touches and make you think it's doing well, make you think that it's good for you when it's actually destroying you, like the kettle. They put the frog in the kettle, turn up the heat. If you do it slow, it ain't gonna know till it's boiling and it's gone. And that's what's happening in our society. So how do we begin to shift? How do we begin to realize fasting and prayer? Those combinations are important. What is prayer? Communion, recognition, alignment to the Creator. So it can be just as simple as, I'm gonna fast from sunup to sundown and I'm gonna take 30 minutes to just sit silent and think about the Creator and try to be involved in nature. Doing that, if you do that every day for 30 days, do you not think you're going to connect to the presence of the Most High at some level? Absolutely. So if you make it a daily part of your practice, then you're living in His presence. And when His presence is on you, because you are conscious, you will eat the best that you can within the context of where you are. Sometimes I still eat crazy food, but for the most part, my steady diet is staying close to the earth, the least of ingredients, because that's the original roadmap the Most High created. His presence comes, He consumes the food, He consumes our body, and we become one with Him and can do what you can at some level, 30, 60, 100 fold. You know, we think about the whole idea of, like you were saying earlier, travel. We don't know where we are. I know that's deep, but we don't really. I was listening to a brother. He made a really good point. We don't know where we are. You're like, well, yes, I do know. I live in California. Okay. According to how do you really know? Someone told you that because you saw signs? Da, da, da. But you don't know what part of the land you really are in. Everything has been given to you. So you could put the movie Truman Show. Someone can put you in the middle of, you know, a certain area for 3-4 generations and say, right now you're in place A, but you don't know if there's Z, what's around you. You don't know any of those environments because everything that has been given to you has been presented through someone else telling you what it is, not you discovering it as a child would normally do. We move around, not only physically move around, as Pop was talking about in Ghana, how we would, you know, use the different things, whether it be plantains, or in the East they call it motoke or shima, all these different foods, maize in the South, because it was utility food, as you call it, helps you to keep moving in our environment. But we also traveled to different locations, like throughout the garden, even here in the Americas. People were traveling. They don't just be stuck in the state of Maryland or stuck in the Bahamas. Is moving, moving, because the environment. Oh, there's no food in this area for this time. We got to move this way, like the animals do. Don't they go from the south and then when it's winter, they move to another part and then they come back and they move around? If they naturally do that, human beings was doing the same thing. So when you get stuck in a certain place and it's outside of your environment, if the environment is off, the food is off, guess what? Everything you do is going to be off. But until you get that awareness, it's going to be very difficult for you to make those changes. But when you're in His presence, He begins to reveal these things to you. So that's why I love the Most High for that, that He, you come into my presence and then you read the scriptures in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. 10,000 shall fall on thy side and none shall come nigh thee. They can have poison in the food. The Most High redeem that. That's the heritage for those who walk in the kingdom. But because we're worshiping other gods, people who present themselves as being gods, different religions, so forth and so on, things that have been passed down, we're getting small driplets of the Most High. And then we cry and saying, why would God do this? No, Most High gave us the power over the land. And He's given us the wisdom again to reach out to Him. But if you reach out and you're in His presence through fasting and prayer, you can realign your relationships. And He tells you how to get from your deficit to back in the black. It's never too late. It's up to you.
You said something, and I think we can kind of put the bow on this conversation, but bring it up next time. But you mentioned, I had to write it down because you talked about being in alignment through fasting, which prompted within me. I said, you know what? That's also, when you talk about communion, that's also a form of communication, right? That's keeping the lines of communication open. So when we relate that back to relationships, that's a part of the distractions and the issues why, as people, it begins to fray the foundation. Because even as the unions between husband and wife, male and female, because of the lack of control and fasting from external sources so that the communion between the two parties can be strong as a bond, though that aspect is long gone. Because because you hear it all the time, it was communication. We didn't communicate. Yeah. Because oftentimes, either one, both, or any were prioritizing other things and not that thing. So fasting from
communion,
the scrolling.
Wow.
Fasting from, you know what? Occupying your time with working things all the time and not making things, not making that bond, that communion, that union fortified is what causes the fracture and the slow, steady decay until you get to a point where you don't even know each other anymore. Annoyances come in because it's through the, because you know, because you're just messing through fasting and prayer, you begin to become more vulnerable. You become more in tune, more in alignment, more in agreement. So now you can understand why it's important even, and that's just a representation or an example as to how these things from one principle can spill over and you can see how it can fortify, how it can benefit you in other aspects of life. But yeah, I think the next time we have that conversation, we need to really go into fasting, because as you can see, we hear the buzzwords all the time, but we can't continue to be people who only identify and agree with things when it becomes popular, because everyone's doing it. It's trendy. It's the thing to do. Also, now it's cool. That's not the case at all.
See you next time.